today on Real Radio.
You're not going to be argued into being a Christian by some mathematical equation. I find this fascinating, because if you could be argued to become a Christian by pure scientific mathematical calculations, then everybody would be a Christian. You would just have to become a Christian, because the evidence is overwhelming that Jesus is the Christ. You can't deny that. You can only reject that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called "Who Told You That Jesus Is the Christ?" Part 1, continues a series now called "Who Told You?" Oftentimes, doctrine is based on past experiences or outside influences. In this series, we'll learn how to discern the voices of our day based on what Scripture reveals. The Christ of the Bible is the Christ who has been anointed, filled with power from above, and represents the will of God to the world. The word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, or the chosen one. The Hebrew for Christ, as we know it, is Messiah. Who is the Christ of the Scriptures? Well, his name is Jesus. And Jesus is our Lord and Savior. It's all about Him. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that for Jesus to be the Christ in your life, it has to go beyond intellect and reason. It has to be what you desire, because you've realized your need for a Savior. And now, continuing his lesson called "Who Told You That Jesus Is the Christ?" Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Whenever Jesus and His name is brought up, it's either going to be a curse word or it's going to be praise. All around the world, you've heard me say this before, all around the world, isn't it fascinating that the very name of Jesus Christ affects governments all around the world, here even to the 21st century? I think it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And then in our final push, we'll look at this. How does Jesus being the Christ affect you and I? So if Jesus is the Christ, who cares? Well, you should care, because remember, the very mission is that He would save us. So watch this. Write this down or think about this. The fact that Jesus' claims, these are radical, and here's where I'm stressed for time. Jesus' claims cannot be defeated. Now you see, well, Jesus said He was the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, He claimed that. What do you think about that? C.S. Lewis said, those are the words of a crazy man, a liar, a lunatic, or maybe Jesus is the Lord. Take just the claims of Jesus and ask yourself, who would say these things? What kind of a person would say this? Well, watch. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear My voice. I know them and they follow Me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand." Now watch, this is where it really gets stimulating, powerful. "My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of My Father's hand." Verse 30, "I and My Father are one." That's what Jesus said. Jesus makes this claim, and it's radical, no doubt. It is absolutely Him declaring that He's equal to God the Father. You would have to say today, that's insane or it's true. But listen, you can't defeat His claim after He rose from the dead. What are you going to do about it? This is one of the reasons why I'm a Christian. Yes, if Jesus never rose from the dead, then this is all a fairy tale. And He said very, very crazy things. What kind of a man would say, "Hey, don't worry, if you die believing in Me, you'll live forever"? No one had ever come on the world scene and said such things. Jesus says it, and then 3 days later, He's resurrected from the dead, causes you to have to sit up and take notice. Meaning this, His claims have never been defeated. They can only be neglected. And with that neglect, we reject. Overwhelming evidence, God says this about His Son, and you either accept Him as Christ or you reject Him. But it's not for a lack of evidence. I want to show you something. I hope we can do this. I actually physically stopped I began to do a Bible search on the names, titles of Jesus Christ. I began to put them down. And I'm going to take it by faith that you can see on the screens. I'm going to read them off to you. And with everything I read right now, you've got to stop and ask yourself this, true or false? If it's true or false, listen, you have to make a decision. Is he your Christ, or are you going to reject him as Christ? Here we go. Ready? By the way, what's on the screen? Down to 10? Okay, watch. According to the Bible, the Messiah, the Christ, is the person that has these titles lifted right out of the Bible. Number one, the Almighty One, Revelation 1:8. The Alpha and the Omega, Revelation 2:13. The Advocate, 1 John 2:1. The Author and the Perfecter of our, goes on to say, faith, Hebrews 12, verse 2. The Author, Matthew 28:18. The Bread of Life, John 6:35. The Beloved Son of God, Matthew 3:17. The Bridegroom, Matthew 9:15. The Chief Cornerstone, Psalm 118:22. The Deliverer, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. The Faithful and True, Revelation 19:11. The Good Shepherd, John 10:11. The Great High Priest, Hebrews 4:14. The Head of the Church, Ephesians 1:22. The Holy Servant, Acts 4:29. The I Am, John 8:58. The Emmanuel, Isaiah 7:14. The Indescribable Gift, 2 Corinthians 9:15. The Judge, Acts 10:42. The King of Kings, Revelation 17:14. The Lamb of God, John 1:29. The Light of the World, John 8:12. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Revelation 5:5. The Lord of All, Philippians 2:9. The Mediator, 1 Timothy 2:5. The Messiah, John 1:41. The Mighty One, Isaiah 60, verse 1. The One who sets free, John 8:36. The Hope, 1 Timothy 1:1. The Peace, Ephesians 2:14. The Prophet, Mark 6:4. The Redeemer, Job 19:25. The Risen Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:3. The Rock, 1 Corinthians 10:4. The Sacrifice, 1 John 4:10. The Savior, Luke 2:11. The Son of Man, Luke 19:10. The Son of the Most High, Luke 1:32. The Supreme Creator over all, 1 Corinthians 1:16. The Resurrection and the Life, John 11:25. The Door, John 10:9. The Way, John 14:6. The Word, John 1:1. The True Vine, John 14:1. The Truth, John 8:32. The Victorious One, Revelation 3:21. The Wonderful, Isaiah 9:6. The Counselor, Isaiah 9:6. The Mighty God, Isaiah 9:6. The Everlasting Father, Isaiah 9:6. The Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. The Son of David, Luke 18:39. The Son of God, Mark 1:1. The Lord of Lords, Revelation 19:6. The Son of Abraham, Matthew 1, verse 1, the Christ, and I stopped there, John 1:41. That's who he is. So here to me is what's amazing. You've got to go through the Bible because you're so firm and convinced that Jesus ain't the one that you've got to discredit all those claims that the Bible puts upon the Christ. Well, listen, somebody embarked upon a pretty cool task. And that's what I want to share with you next. Everything previously has come to pass regarding Jesus and Bible prophecy. Whatever about Christ has been said leading up to his ascension has been fulfilled. And what remains in Bible prophecy will transpire when Christ comes. Watch this. There is a man in 1952, and I'm probably going to say his name right, because I don't think his name is Peter Stoner. It could be, but it's maybe French, Peter Stonier. I don't know. Doesn't matter. He's a mathematician and chairman of mathematics and astronomy at Pasadena City College in 1952. And he began to look at the claims of Christians that Jesus is God, that Jesus is Christ, that Jesus is the one who the Bible says he is. So this mathematician took eight prophecies about the Christ. And he began to analyze them to determine the mathematical odds of Jesus being the Christ. Are you ready? Number one, the claim that Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. Well, it's recorded in the New Testament, but the prophecy was given 553 years before he was born in Bethlehem in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. So he began to do the mathematical analysis. Begins to run it through his equations. Secondly, whoever the Messiah is, the Christ, he's got to be virgin born according to the prophets. Isaiah 7 says he's got to be virgin born. Have you ever heard of somebody with a scandalous report of being brought into the world by virtue of a virgin? 743 years after the prophecy of Isaiah, Jesus is born in Bethlehem of a virgin. Number three, according to the ancient prophecies regarding the Messiah must come from the tribe of Judah. Genesis chapter 49, the Bible tells us in the genealogies of Jesus that he's none other than from the tribe of Judah. Listen, I'm not making this up. Jews today know that Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. Four, he had to be a descendant of King David. The Bible tells us it's the Christmas story. Behold, today, born in the city of David, Christ the Lord, throughout Scripture, there are people calling out, Jesus, Jesus, heal me, open my eyes, touch me, O son of David, recorded in the Bible. That's Jeremiah 23:5, written nearly 1,000 years before Christ was born. The Bible tells us that the Messiah, whoever he would be in the future, some 500 years before he was born, written down in the Jewish prophets, that the Messiah, the Christ, would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And if you've read your New Testament, Judas agreed to turn Jesus, to turn Jesus over to the religious leadership for how much? Not 25, not 35, 30 pieces of silver, said the prophets. 1,000 years before Jesus was born, Psalm 22, verse 16 said that the Messiah would have to be crucified through his hands and his feet. I don't need to elaborate on that one. On the seventh prophecy was Zechariah 9:9, and the Messiah would ride into Jerusalem, not on a horse, not in a cart, but the Messiah would arrive into Jerusalem, Zechariah 9:9, riding a donkey. Not only a donkey, but it was a colt of a donkey that no one's ever been ridden on before. The Bible says that that's how you'd recognize the Christ, is that he's going to come into Jerusalem riding on the back of a baby donkey. And on Palm Sunday, 2,000 years ago, that's exactly what happened as Jesus entered. In fact, the people recognized it, and they began to shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then the final eighth prophecy was Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, which said that all of a sudden, the Messiah, the Christ, would appear at the temple in Jerusalem. And on that week of Palm Sunday week, of Passion Week, Jesus goes to Jerusalem, and it's the famous visitation. Remember what he does? He condemns the leadership for making the house of God into a house of merchandise when it should have been a house of prayer, and Jesus violently turns all the tables and the money changers over. Remember that? And that was recorded in Scripture. Eyewitness accounts, they said, does not the Scripture teach that the Lord will suddenly come to his temple? Eight prophecies, church. One mathematician studied and then took all of the other factors about population, about who would be born in Bethlehem, one stacked upon another, and here was his conclusion. By the way, you can buy his book. Regarding the eight biblical prophecies, the chances for one human being fulfilling eight prophecies is one chance in 100 million billion. Eight prophecies, that the same individual fulfills just eight of those prophecies. Guess what? When Jesus Christ had ascended back to heaven, he had fulfilled nearly 300 prophecies. In other words, listen, the truth of the matter is this, friends. You're not going to be argued into being a Christian by some mathematical equation. I find this fascinating, because if you could be argued to become a Christian by pure scientific mathematical calculations, then everybody would be a Christian. You would just have to become a Christian. Because the evidence is overwhelming that Jesus is the Christ. You can't deny that. You can only reject that. What's amazing to me is God doesn't want you to come into the kingdom by mathematical equations. The issue is not one of intellect. It's not one of even absolute truth and fact. Everything we've said brings us now to this close. For Jesus to be the Christ, just like the Jews were to find a lamb and make that lamb their lamb until you eat the lamb, you may be here today and you're whatever. Yeah, fine, that's all fine. Live and let live, whatever. But listen, have you found a lamb to atone for your sins? What are you going to do about your sins? See, all of this transcends intellect. I don't care how educated or not you are. It's irrelevant. Would you listen? Just look, me. According to the Bible, I am a liar. I'm a cheat. I'm a you name it. You say, oh, Jack, I feel so sorry for you. I'm talking about you too. It's us. Every one of us are wretched, arrogant, proud, self-righteous, lustful, temper, tantrum, throwing. What else? Throw it all in the pot. Listen, you say, how dare you say that? Oh, stop it. Stop being so politically correct with yourself. Just knock it off. Listen, the Bible says Jesus is the Christ. Christ means Messiah. Christ means someone had to come and take care of our sin situation. That's us. Thank God he's the Christ. Thank God he did what he did. The only way that you're going to miss this opportunity is for you to be so arrogant and proud that you say to him, I don't need you. I don't need you in the face of your love. I don't need you in the face of the mathematical equations. I don't need you in logic and reason. I will not come to you because I want to just be who I am and live for what I am, and that's it, and I don't care where I wind up in eternity. That's just the way it's going to be. It has nothing to do with intellect. It has everything to do with what you want. And for some of us in this room, we had all that stuff before, and it only got us almost killed. No fulfillment, no peace, no joy, absolute robbery. And then Jesus appears by word, by message, by radio, by witness, by friend, by reading the Bible, and you are awakened to the fact that he's the Christ. Amen. And the Bible tells us that if you put your faith in him and him alone, you'll be transformed. In fact, listen, stand. I'll read the last verse. We're done. You can stand. I'll read the last verse. Do you not want this? In fact, it's two verses. Sorry. I just lied to you. I'm not going to give you one verse. I'm going to give you two. Listen to this. Isaiah 11:10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. That's another one of his names, by the way. Who shall stand as a banner to the nations, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Listen, the Bible says that this Messiah of Israel will not just save Israel, he will save all, even Gentiles, who will call out to him, who will humble themselves and turn to him. And then this is what happens. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16, it says there, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, church. If Jesus is your Christ, you have been washed. You have been forgiven. You have been made new. The banner that God has labeled all those who come to him is righteousness. The word is Jehovah Tsidkenu. It means the Lord, our righteousness, is given, stamped, put upon you. If you have made Jesus your Christ, and I sure hope you have. Father, we praise you. We thank you, God, that Jesus is the Christ, that we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We've not followed some story. We've not made things up. Your word and the fact of history itself screams and shouts for us to trust you. Lord, today may we leave a people joyful, thankful, praising you and excited that no matter what is going on in our lives, Christ is bigger, Christ is stronger, Christ our righteousness. But Lord, to those that might be here today or might be watching right now, they have no assurance of eternal life. They have no forgiveness of sins. The guilt, the shame is upon them. They're proud. They're resistant to Jesus. They've neglected your word. Friends, if that's you right now today, whoever you may be, listen, dead serious about this. If inside of you right now, where no man can go, no one knows but you, inside of you, if you hear the challenge coming to you, you need to make this decision. If you're being prodded in your psyche, this is the right thing to do. Receive Christ. Come to Christ. You need to do that now. Right now, right where you're standing, God is waiting to receive you. If you would tell him right now, Lord Jesus, I now today receive you as my Christ. Be my salvation, my Messiah. Transform my life. Make me today a brand new person based upon your work at the cross. And I will follow you now the days of my life. And all of us together, in Jesus' name said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, Who Told You That Jesus is the Christ, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that Jesus is the Christ in your life and that your desire is to do his will. Who Told You That Jesus is the Christ, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called, Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, as well as his plan for our lives and for the future of his church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Today was day 3 of this lesson, and don't forget, you can check out any days that you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, by the way, if you've made a decision for Christ and you need some help or you just want to talk to someone about it, head on over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the contact tab. We would love to get in touch with you. We'd like to have some contact with you, get somebody in touch that can help you in your walk with Christ. Again, if you've just made a decision for Christ, or maybe you need some hand-holding along the way, that's not a problem. Get a hold of us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. We just recently ended a 4-part message called Who Told You About the Church? And I want to tell you a little bit about this special promotion we've got going on. These messages really do teach you how to determine whether a church is a true biblical church or not. If Jesus Christ is at the helm of that church, it can't be defeated. But if men are at the helm, that church is already defeated. It may not have fallen yet, but it is powerless, unprotected, and pretty much doomed. Pastor Jack Hibbs shares the importance of the church being Christ-centered in these key areas: teaching, influence, witness, impact, worship, obedience, and most importantly, its love for Christ and others. For a limited time, you can get this 4-part message for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month every month? Specially selected books handpicked by Pastor Jack. And this month's book of the month is called The Attributes of God, Volume 2 by A.W. Tozer. Now, last month we read Volume 1 together, but if you missed that, don't worry. This book actually stands on its own. In this book, Tozer examines what God reveals about himself, what Scripture says about his love, his sovereignty, wisdom, his faithfulness, among many other things. It's a great book. Be sure to pick it up. The Attributes of God, Volume 2 by A.W. Tozer. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.